Scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 33 through 37. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all, and servant of all." Then he took a little child, and he put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God.
Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know how there are some people who just like from the age of five, they know what they're going to do with their life. You know, it's like, I'm going to be a doctor. They know what they're doing. They're dumb, 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 and they go and do it, right? I wasn't one of those people. I just drifted through a lot of undergraduate schools and a lot of graduate programs. And so that, what that means is I get a whole bunch of those alumni magazines, right? I get a bunch of those things in my mailbox. And my reaction is always the same. As I leaf through it to get to the alumni news section so I can find those people I went to school with, you're reading through it, and what you see is you see something like, and there's John Dewright, and he has just retired from a Fortune 500 company. He's now living in Sun Valley, Idaho on 500 acres and just having a wonderful life. And then there's Paul, who's an elementary school teacher in New Mexico, one line. There's Jane, who's a counselor in Phoenix, one line. And then there's Suzanne, who is a news reporter stationed overseas. She has a picture, and she's got this exotic life, and it's telling about all the people she's interviewed. And you read it, and you go, she's got so much more of an exciting life than I do. Have you ever had that experience? Okay, thank you for leaving me here by myself. Kind of like Facebook, isn't it? I mean, you get on Facebook and everybody has just come back from the French Riviera. Everyone has just come back from Europe. Everyone's just come back from the Caribbean. Everyone has just lost like 100 pounds. Everyone's just got a job promotion. It's just one thing after another. And everyone, they just won the lottery. It's one thing or another. And all of a sudden it strikes you and you go, man, there's a whole lot of people out there who are good at self-promotion. You ever had that thought? You're like, man, there's a lot of people out there marketing themselves all the time. And you kind of have that thought when you look at this gospel passage. So here are the disciples, here are the apostles, they're wandering along, and they get into an argument amongst themselves. Jesus hears it, he knows what they're arguing about, and they get to Capernaum, and when they get to Capernaum, he sits down, because in those days when the rabbis taught, they would teach from a sitting down position. And he said, well, what were you all arguing over on the road? And they had the good sense not to say anything, right? They had the good sense not to say, well, actually, we were arguing over which one of us is the greatest. They had the good sense not to say that. And so Jesus, as he sits there and he teaches them, he says, whoever wants to be first of all must be servant of all. And Jesus' words and his values are so countercultural to all the American cliches that we hear, right? He who dies with the most toys wins. Have it your way, my way, or the highway, or that infamous expression from the movie Wall Street, greed is good. We're so inundated with these cultural messages that sometimes Jesus' words, they sound to us a bit like a foreign language. They sound like, what's he talking about here? It's almost like you want to respond to him and say, yeah, that's nice, but that's not how the world runs. When Will Willimon was a new chaplain, a brand new chaplain at Duke University, he was taken aside by a more seasoned member, and he said, you know, I need to tell you how it goes around here. When you get invited to the development dinners, when you get invited to other university dinners, watch where they seat you. If you get seated at table 2 or 3, that's a really good thing. If you get seated at table 10, well, you should be concerned. And if you get seated at table 20, you might as well go home and start packing, because you're not going to be there for long. But if the truth be told, I understand that. I understand placement seatings. I understand someone getting the gold medal, the silver medal, and the bronze medal. I understand that easier than I understand Jesus' words. What do you mean it's great to be the servant of all? What's so great about being a servant? What's so great about the first being the last? What's so great about being last? What's so great about being the loser? What's so great about any of that? And you know, there's this line we walk in the Christian church about humility, right? Because we're told we're supposed to be humble, and then we're not exactly sure how we're to do that, right? How we're to express that. One of the undergraduates I went to was an Assemblies of God college in Springfield, Missouri. And so, you know, after someone would, you know, sing a song in chapel, they would have written the song, they were playing it, they were singing it. After chapel, you'd go up to them and you'd say, oh, that was so wonderful. Thank you. And they're like, well, listen, it wasn't me. I couldn't do that by myself. It was all God. And you really wanted to say, but you didn't say it. You really wanted to say, oh, no, if it were God, it would have been much better than that, right? You're just kind of at a loss of words in that moment, aren't you? You don't know what to do. I'm not a big fan of humility that covers for low self-esteem. I kind of resonate with that story that Charles Town told. Charles Town won the Nobel Prize for laser technology. And I kind of resonate with the story that he told. He said that a beaver and a rabbit were staring up at the immense wall of Hoover Dam. And they're staring up at it, they're looking at it, they're awed by it. And the beaver says, well, no, I didn't actually build it, but it's based on an idea of mine. What's so great about not believing in yourself? What's so great about not having confidence? What's so great about any of that? The church sometimes has trouble understanding power and how to wield power and how to wield it in a constructive way. What is a good sense of power being exercised in this world? Is power bad in and of itself? I believe a Christian is called to walk with confidence, for you are a child of God. I believe you're to walk with confidence because you're a child of God. You have innate dignity and worth. You're not to sell yourself like a blue light special at Kmart. You have innate dignity and worth. And God has a calling upon your life. And God has anointed you to do work in this world, work that only you can do, work that I can't do, that I've not been gifted for. God has called you and anointed you for work in this world, and you are to walk with the Spirit of God. Some people wrongly assume that Mother Teresa, though she was small in stature, some people believe that she was just meek and mild, and that she spent all of her time working with the poor in Calcutta. Now, she spent a great deal of time working with the poor in Calcutta, but that's not all she did. She globetrotted around the world, fundraising for her organization. She was comfortable, just as comfortable, on the streets of Calcutta ministering to someone as she was comfortable standing next to President Clinton. She was just as comfortable doing the work of God wherever God sent her, because her innate dignity and worth comes from God, because she's a child of God. And she was very comfortable when she'd be standing next to presidents, criticizing them in front of them, if their public policy, in her mind, disagreed with the gospel. She had no problem at all. She said, you know, you can do no great thing for God, only small things with great love. But you know, all the small things with great love that she did turned out to be an incredibly great work of God in this world. Now, I'm not invoking Mother Teresa so that, saying you should be like Mother Teresa. You can't be Mother Teresa. You can only be the person that God has called you to be. I can't be Mother Teresa. I've not been gifted that way. You can't be Mother Teresa. You can only be who God has called you to be. But God has gifted you, and God has anointed you, and God has gifted you for service in this world. And there is a call upon your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. There is a call upon your life. It doesn't matter how young you are. There is a call upon your life. And we are to go about our work, making a difference in this world, dreaming dreams, embracing holy ambition, and treating others with dignity and worth. Bjørn Dæhlie was a phenomenal Norwegian cross-country skier. He dominated his sport. He was the Michael Jordan of cross-country skiing. Absolutely dominated his sport. He won 29 Olympic and World Championship medals. And when he competed in the 1998 Olympics in Japan, he did not know that would be his last Olympics to compete in, because his horizon looked so bright. It looked like he would be competing for two or three more Olympics. His horizon was so bright, he did not know that 1998 would be the last Olympics he would compete in. He had an accident in 1999 that ended his career. In the 1998 Winter Olympics, Dæhlie had just won the 10,000 kilometer cross-country skiing event. After he crossed the finish line, he didn't high-five everyone, right? After he crossed the finish line, he didn't say, "I'm the greatest." After he crossed the finish line, he didn't do that line that just drives me crazy when I hear it, you know. "Bjørn, what are you going to do?" "I'm going to Disney World." Man, that drives me crazy when I hear that. He didn't do any of that. He crossed the finish line, and he turned around, and he waited. He became friends with Philip Boyt from Kenya, and he had a great respect for Philip Boyt. Now, if you're a cross-country skier from Kenya, that means you've got some serious dreams, you've got some serious work ethic, and you're really going about it, right? And so he had some tremendous respect for Philip Boyt. And so he turned around after he crossed the finish line, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. One skier after another came, and then finally, after 90 skiers had passed him by, the last skier of the day, the 92nd skier, Philip Boyd of Kenya, crossed the finish line. And in that moment, Dolly and Philip embraced, and he hugged him really tight. And in that moment, the first and the last were bonded together by a vision of excellence. For they both did the very best that they could do. They were bonded together by a vision of excellence. I asked earlier in the sermon, what's so great about being a servant? You know, as an end in and of itself, there's nothing great about it. It can be quite dehumanizing in and of itself. What matters is, what are you a servant for? Who are you serving? And to what end is your service given? God calls us to serve others for the sake of the kingdom of God. I asked earlier, does God want me to be a loser? I could have asked the same question, does God want me to be a winner? And the answer is yes to both questions. God wants me, and God wants you, to lose enslavement to ourselves and to the world. And God wants us to win what God has prioritized, the high calling and the kingdom of our Lord. Great things in God's kingdoms are not measured by worldly riches or fame. They're measured by faithfulness. God wants you to be enthralled with holy ambition, with holy ambition. He challenges us to dream dreams and make them into reality so lives can be changed and souls saved. God is calling you to make a difference. Are you willing to answer the call? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.